This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, Julian Earle, Melissa Idris and myself, Sharad Kutin, with the top business stories of the day. We begin with our look at the United States. Donald Trump, the president-elect of the United States, his nominee for Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, has signaled his willingness to confront Beijing in the South China Sea. He says that China should be denied access to the artificial reefs and other facilities that it's built on various atolls and islands in that disputed area.
We spoke to Mikio Kumada this morning, who said that this is already fait accompli because China already has access in the South China Sea. So what is that to prevent them from going in? But I guess this is a policy that would lead to further tensions in the South China Sea. And it also supercharges ex-President Obama's pivot to Asia policy. What do you guys think?
Well, you know, while it is in some sense fait accompli, he can't stop the building. The building's already happened. I mean, there are probably more. But the fact remains that both of those naval fleets are in the area. And if America chooses to stop China from accessing, it can, in fact, try to blockade, those islands. And that would set up, the scene for a military confrontation, potentially. Right.
Well, here's the man himself, Rex Tillerson, slamming China during a Senate confirmation hearing.
We should also acknowledge the realities about China. China's island building in the South China Sea is an illegal taking of disputed areas without regard for international norms. China's economic and trade practices have not always followed its commitments to global agreements. It steals our intellectual property and is aggressive and expansionist in the digital realm. It has not been a reliable partner in using its full influence to curb North Korea. China has proven a willingness to act with abandon in the pursuit of its own goals, which at times has put it in conflict with American interest. We have to deal with what we see, not what we hope. To achieve the stability that is foundational to peace and security in the 21st century, American leadership must not only be renewed, it must be asserted.
Well, that's fascinating. That was Rex Tillerson, the nominee for Secretary of State by Donald Trump, incoming administration. I wonder, guys, if you took out the word China and you put the word Russia, would that analysis still be true?
Similar. Well, you know, he actually said that China's building of islands and putting military assets on those islands was akin to Russia taking Crimea from Ukraine. So I wonder, I'm confused at the relationship dynamic going forward between the U.S. and China. China and US and Russia, given all the new allegations that have surfaced in the past few days.
Yeah, and I think this is very significant, this development and these statements that are coming out of this Secretary of State heir apparent. And it's very different from that policy with Taiwan, because with Taiwan, they say that they recognize Beijing, but they would assist Taiwan in any wars and any tensions that might happen. So that's a policy of deliberate ambiguity, right? If the U.S. in those days, in the 70s, when they established this policy, if they had a strategic clarity in Taiwan, it would invite the wrath of China. But today, they're going head-on and having that kind of strategic clarity, which they avoided in the 70s with Taiwan. And I think it's a global game of chicken, right? to see who blinks first. Because China in the past has said that we don't care about the economy. We don't care about the global economy when commenting on the nine dash lines. They say that China's sovereignty is of utmost importance. And here is the United States coming out to say the same thing on their side.
Well, okay. So the question is, what is the status of Rex Tillerson's statement? He is before a Senate hearing. I don't know. I haven't heard what is the likelihood of him passing and being allowed to take that cabinet position. We know America has all these checks and balances. It's quite amazing, even on the question of Donald Trump's moves to, ring fence his, business interests. There's already been a statement by the competent authorities around ethics that say, well, actually, this is not going to do any good. And America's full of these kind of checks and balances. Will Rex Tillerson be the man? And will he reflect those values when they actually come to power?
Oh, I have no answer for you there, Sharad. But on that note about conflict of interest, Jules, didn't Donald Trump just turn down this mega deal, this $2 billion property deal in Dubai?
Yes, that's right. From Damac Properties Dubai. And his excuse or his reasoning for that is that he didn't want to have a conflict of interest with his presidency, of course. I don't know why would a president reveal this, because in any other administration, a revelation like this would cause a lot of hoo-ha among the people and among the press. But I guess with Donald Trump, he is slightly different, right? People are used to him having to negotiate those kind of very blurry lines between his private business life and his presidency as the most powerful, one of the most powerful men in the world.
What's also very interesting is in yesterday's discussion, Melissa, you had, there was this question of impeachment. Already the man's not even taken office and there is talk, you know, in the markets that he might be impeached even within the first year of his administration. And so, you know, and because of these potential conflicts of interest and, in fact, even allegations of influence, undue influence by foreign powers on him as an individual. I think it's we're in for a bumpy ride and a lot of drama, especially as a man who not only has, you know, a real personality when it comes to dealing with the press. If we've watched him before, I think that's going to be fascinating. Moving on, we have the story of Japan. Shinzo Abe sets off a whirlwind 6-day tour of Southeast Asia as part of an effort to strengthen trade and diplomatic ties.
So Abe is going to visit all the high-growth countries in ASEAN, namely Vietnam, Indonesia, and the Philippines. So there should be no hard feelings from the other ASEAN countries that are not going.
We didn't make the list. We didn't make
the Singapore or Thailand. But this is all about business, right? Malaysia used to look east, but there is now a pivot to China these days. And Japan now has a lot of money, and they're going to seek new frontiers and new markets for their money. And Japan is has been a very keen investor in the past. They still have huge amounts of financial resources. So they're in a very good position to help these smaller countries and also posture themselves with China as well, whom they are having a lot of disputes as well, to balance what China's checkbook diplomacy is.
Yeah, so I really like what this analyst from CIMB had, how he or she had summed up this this purpose of the visit. It's about telling people that even though China is making inroads, we, Japan, are still one of the biggest investors, that we are still here.
How does this help Japan? And we know that China is going out, its companies, its state-owned enterprises are going out, basically because they need to find profits elsewhere. But Japan's been in this region for a long time. Has it helped their rather moribund economy? And will this move do any better?
Well, they say that they can do this to help the aging economy in Japan. And I guess it's more revenue streams and more income, because really there's only so much electronic gadgets that you can sell to small countries. But by investing in those smaller countries, which are very young, for example, Philippines has about 30% of its population below the age of 15. And that compares to Japan, which is about around 20%. So Japan is clearly an aging country, and they need to find new avenues of growth. But I also do think that there is a political dimension to this whole thing. They want to balance out the kind of checks that China is writing out to other smaller countries.
Which is, I think, quite interesting that they're going to Vietnam as well, which is a really high-growth economy. I think a recent economist and analyst are saying that perhaps even the stock market is expected to rise 17% this year.
We'll be back with more top business news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.